Thank you for joining us this morning for this edition of Shiar Jashub, a Bible study program brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will continue a sermon in my husband's series on the book of Romans. In this message, Pastor is in Romans chapter 1, where the focus has been on verses 13 to 15, where Paul writes, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." And when we left off, Pastor Greg was discussing this obligation Paul felt to the Gentiles and his readiness to bring the gospel to them in fulfillment of his calling, and how this relates to the individual ministry the Lord has for each of us. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo.
Whatever the trust God has given us, and I said before, everyone has something the Lord has given them. We must be good stewards. We must be eager. We must be willing. We must be ready to discharge the trust to fulfill the debt. We owe it to those we are called to minister to. And not just ministers in the American church sense of the word have ministries. Everyone has some ministry. Everyone has something God has called us to do, people he's called us to reach, fruit he's called us to labor in his vineyard, in his field, to harvest and bring in onto eternal life. And we are called to be ready. We owe it. As he's given us the abilities, as he's given us the gifts, as he's given us that which is necessary, we have to discharge the trust and do that which he's called us to do. Sometimes we think we can't. Sometimes we say, well, how can I do this? Who am I to do this? You know, if you look back in Exodus chapter 4, in the famous account of the burning bush, Moses has seen the bush burning and not being consumed. He's heard the voice of God. He's heard God tell him he will deliver his people. He's seen miraculous signs, you know, the staff turning into the serpent, turning back into the staff, the hand turning leprous and then turning back whole. He's seen these things, and yet he says to the Lord in verse 10, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And Paul says something similar to that in one of his letters, that he's not a very articulate person. He's a highly educated person, but he's not someone that can make a big show in a speech. And Moses saying, I'm slow of tongue, I'm slow of speech. Moses was a very educated person also. He was taught in the courts of Pharaoh. And yet, how can I do this thing? I can't speak the right way. And many times you'll hear Christians say that, you know, I'd like to witness to people. I'd like to tell them about Jesus, but I never have the right words to say. I never know what to say. I don't know if I'm doing wrong. I'm not going to go there because who am I to do this? So Moses says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, or seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." The Lord can open the mouth. The Lord can give us the help we need. He can take charge of our mouth. He can give us the words to speak. So he tells Moses, don't worry about it. I can make people blind or deaf. I can make you see. I can make you hear. Your mouth's in my hands. I'll give you the words. I'll teach you what to say. And then Moses takes it a step further, verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Not me. I can't do it. I'm not the guy. Send somebody else. One too many times. Not humility now. Who am I? Becomes pride. Because you can use it as an excuse to not do what God has told you to do. Verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. This is Moses. And God is mad. The anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. And that's when Aaron comes into the picture and he says, well, your brother, he can talk. And you know, Aaron introduced a lot of problems into the situation. And ultimately, Moses had to talk anyway, right? He stood up and he had to speak anyway. But he comforts him by bringing Aaron, who's a good baloney artist, into the picture to give him the confidence that he should have gotten from God. The anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. Sometimes we think we can't, but if God has called us to do it, we can. Others say they will. Oh, I'll do it, Lord. But when the times get tough, they won't. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he saying to him? Times can get tough. When you want to follow, times can get tough. You say you're going to do it. Are you really going to do it when times get tough? Others, they become distracted. Other things come in their lives. Sometimes things that sound good. And maybe some of which they should do, but they use it as an excuse. As an excuse not to do what God has called them to do. And they reject the obligation. Luke chapter 9, right after that, verse 59, then he said to another. The other guy came and said, I'll follow you anywhere. Now Jesus says to the person, another person, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And that expression meant, well, I'll do it, Lord, after my father dies. Not that the father was dead and Jesus wouldn't let him go to the burial. You know, I have to first fulfill my obligation to my father. When he's dead, then I'll come, be it, you know, next month, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I'll come do what you want me to do. Sounds like a legitimate excuse, but it's not. The Lord has said to him, follow me. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Now, Elijah allows Elisha to do that, right? Because Elijah knows Elisha will say farewell and come and follow, right? But Jesus understands something here. When the person says that, he says to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's all too easy to look back, to go and say, well, I'll just say farewell and then I'll do what you tell me to do. And you get all wrapped up in the old situation all over again that you don't do what you're supposed to do. Now, obviously, not everyone is called out to go onto the mission field. Not everyone is called to go out into Jerusalem at that time and preach the gospel. But this was Messiah calling them to follow him at this moment. We all have things we're called to do. Part of those things will maybe involve our families. There are obligations we have to our families. But there's a lot the Lord gives us, and many times we will use the mundane things of this world to say, well, I just can't do that aspect of what God has called me to do. And so we walk away from bearing all the fruit we should bear. Good-hearted people many times can use that which is good as an excuse not to fulfill their ministry in Christ. Not to do what all the Lord has called them to do. But Paul says what? He says, I'm a debtor. I'm obligated. And I'm ready. and you sense this ministry in Rome is important to the church and the current believers there and their growth and their education and the spiritual gifts he wants to impart to them, the establishment, we talked last week about the 3D church, the full solid church, but it goes beyond that to the city and all the unbelievers and the Gentiles, the nations that need to be reached that God is going to use Paul for. And look at that obligation. I'm a debtor. I'm obligated to Greeks and to barbarians. To Greeks and to barbarians. If you dissect the Gentiles, the non-Jews, you have the Greeks, Hellene in the Greek, which means a Greek. It comes from the Greek word for Greece, Hellas. And then later on, it becomes applied to such Gentiles as spoke the Greek language. When you talk about a Hellene, you're talking about Hellenism. You know, our English word Hellenism, Hellenistic, devotion, a devotion to, imitation of ancient Greek thought, customs, styles, Greek civilization, especially as modified in the Hellenistic period, the Webster Dictionary will say. It's a body of humanistic and classical ideals associated with ancient Greece, reason, the pursuit of knowledge, the arts, moderation, civic responsibility, bodily development, you think about the Olympics, all that was part of Hellenistic, Hellene Greek. It's relating to Greek history and culture and art after Alexander the Great. Before Alexander's father, a lot of those city-states were not organized together, even though you had the Golden Age and a lot of your philosophers and everything else. But with Alexander the Great, 356 BC to 323 BC, he conquers that civilized world. In Daniel chapter 7, it's prophesied about him. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. His empire spread that quickly. He defeated the Persians. He spread over an area unimaginable in the amount of time, given they didn't have all the modern technology we have today. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. He dies very young. He dies in his 30s, and his four generals then split the empire up. But he's conquered a huge amount of land, the Mediterranean world and beyond. He goes to the east, and Greek culture goes in that direction and then to the west. Their language, their literature, their culture. If you look in Daniel chapter 8,
our church website is shiarjashub.org. Serious times require serious Bible study. And on shiarjashub.org, you will find hundreds of radio audio teaching programs, information about our church, and links to our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service on YouTube. These videos are posted up on the Shiar Jashub channels on YouTube, Rumble.com, and X.com, as well as on the church website itself. You can find all this information on the website at shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.